Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, and streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE has helped provide light, comfort, and connection in our community since 1936. As your trusted energy advisor, MTE is always here to help. Connect online at MTE.com or download the MyMTE app. Well, to a guy who's been around since 1936, State Representative Mike Sparks joins us.
How you doing?
I'm good. You have been around that long, haven't you?
I've been around a little bit. I'm getting older, man, that's for sure.
I can tell.
We all are.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, speak for yourself.
Yeah. How's things going?
It's going okay. Going okay. Yeah. We're going to talk to Emily Lopez here in just a second as well, but I know that it's been a tough week for you and the family.
Yeah, you know, as you know, we had planned funeral arrangements for my sister, Vicky. I've often talked about her on the radio. She was Smyrna High graduate in 1980. Big athlete back in the day. And in fact, she was MVP at Smyrna High softball when they were state runner-ups that year. And tremendous athlete, had a college scholarship, went into journalism, Brian, of all things. And can you believe that? And you know why she didn't want to go journalism after she graduated with a scholarship?
Why is that?
I call it the fake news. She called it the dirty laundry.
Oh.
And I remember my dad being, you know, he was World War II. I remember my dad being so mad at her that, well, how does somebody go to college for 4 years and not, you know, not go into that field? I mean, he'd be so upset. So she went into insurance sales, and
really?
She excelled at insurance because she was real outgoing, just like Emily is here. And she bought a cancer policy at 29, and sadly, she was diagnosed at 30 with a brain tumor. And after they cut that out, she never really could hold a full-time job. It just affected her short-term memory. Now, she could talk about high school and things like that, but she couldn't remember appointments and all with her occupation. But she was one of their lead folks selling insurance. And then she had a bad fall 6 years ago, and she was conscious when she went to the hospital, and then she went into a coma, had a brain bleed. And I remember, and I've often shared this as well, I remember praying. She was 6 weeks into a coma on life support. I remember praying. I said, Lord, if you're not going to heal my sister, you need to take my sister. And I hated to say something like that because, you know, words are powerful. You got to be careful what you proclaim. And within 3, maybe 5 minutes, the hospital calls, hey, your sister opened her eyes, started talking. And she only said a few words, I mean, but she came to. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, her quality of life was just, you know, she was at Smyrna Care Center, formerly DiversiCare. So as a, you know, it's been an eye-opening experience for me to watch my sister in a nursing home, watch a lack of workforce, watch the needs out there. My mom was in traditions, and they treated her good. She passed away at home. But my sister's experience really is what got me on to music therapy. And I know that sounds crazy. I'd have never talked about music therapy or mental health and well-being years ago. But I happened to come into the nursing home, and I hear her singing a song. And she's at the exit trying to escape in her wheelchair because she couldn't walk. And I hear her singing John Denver, Country Road, Take Me Home. And I was like, whoa, how does she know this song? And I tapped her on the shoulder. She goes, do you know how to get out of this place? She was trying to get out of the nursing home. And I, you know, it's just so ironic. It was sad, but it was kind of humorous. And she didn't know my name. And I thought, how do you know the words to a song, but you don't know my name? And that led to, you know, I passed the bill making Amazing Grace official state hymn. And I was playing Amazing Grace in my mother's final hours because she was in a lot of pain and moans. And I mean, I could hear her breathing in the middle of the night and moaning all the way across the house. And I played Amazing Grace with the bagpipes because my mother's from Scotland. And I literally watched music, Emily, calm my mother down, give her peace, and she passed the next day. So the other night with Vicky, I brought her a little Frosty from Wendy's, and she ate it. That was Thursday night. And I played the same music, played some of the songs from her, you know, that time period. And when I was leaving, it was really sad. She said, take me home. And I was like, man, I told my wife, I said, could we take her home? I mean, she's confined to there. And so it was one of them emotional roller coasters. So,
sure.
So Friday, Monday morning, I was going to go to the nurse home and then go to the memorial service at Smyrna. And Smyrna does an awesome job. Jeff Peach handled it. And the nurse home calls, hey, man, your sister is really taking a turn. So my wife beelined it out, and I was, you know, about to get ready. So I was trying to get ready, and And she'd passed, but I shout out to Mayor Reed. She may have been the first one to even text me. So I've got, you know, hundreds of texts and calls and all, but going to plan a funeral, man, this has been an eye opening experience. I've never had to plan a funeral. My mother had her stuff planned, my stepdad, my father, and I'm going to tell you, man, a dude hooked me up with a plot. I know this sounds crazy. I talk about the Lord just kind of providing. Roselawn, I don't know if you price any plots at Roselawn, folks, but it is expensive. And my mom and stepdad and my stepsister buried over there. And Tony Campbell was telling me, he knew my sister in hospice. I said, look, I'm going to have to, you know, find a burial plot. You know, I start planning this stuff. And she's in a conservatorship, and I'm still trying to plan. And, you know, with session and stuff going on, it's been hard for me to do anything. And Tony's friend, man, he hooked me up on a burial plot for $1,000.
Wow.
I mean, it was crazy. So I was leaving out where the plot is.
What did they cost now, just out of curiosity?
It was like $6,000.
Wow.
And this is all a big business, folks. I mean, I know people are like, don't you know this stuff? I had never had to go through this planning on my own. You don't really think about it, but all of a sudden when you've got to, you know, rubber hits the road and you got to start planning, you don't have no negotiating power. So I was even kidding the guy that had the, because he's got some other plots, and he decided not to sell them. I said, hey, man, I'll swap you this SUV I've got, because I've wrote a book, Learn to Barter. So I'm out there looking at the plot, and I look over, Malcolm Hall's buried, right, and his wife, right where my sister's going to be. You know, it's a few feet over. Well, I bartered a Mustang, late model Mustang, for had a big GMC car hauler that would haul, you know, a couple of vehicles, had the big siren on the top and all the, you know, lights. It was a nice thing, and I thought, man, this is ironic, you know. That was a barter deal I was pretty appreciative of. But if folks hadn't planned their pre-need and all that, get it together. Want to shout out to Tammy Rankin and Tammy Mitchell with Tom Rose with Smyrna. I guess it's the Parks Department over there and Public Works. They've got Mapleview Cemetery. And if you need a plot, you want to start planning, Mapleview's affordable. But needless to say, I'm going to be planning my own stuff here in the next when I get through with my sister's, but her visitation's Parkway this Saturday at 10:30, services at 12, and
Parkway Baptist
mm-hmm. on Lee Victor Parkway where we attended. But
I think that's why a lot of people are choosing cremation now.
I'm hearing that. Mm-hmm. That's probably one
I mean, you're buying a piece of land. I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, you're buying a piece of
only negotiating I had was because they got you then, you know. Was I got them to waive the transfer fee if I bought the monument there, and it comes out of the conservatorship. But, man, it's $2,200 for just a basic monument. I mean, they charge you fees on top of fees. Remember, I had a car business for 14 years. I never seen this kind of practice in the car business or contractors, but it's like, oh, you got a fee. Oh, by the way, you got another transfer fee. Oh, there's another fee over here. You know, they charge an extra $1,000 to bury her on a Saturday to open and close the plot on a Saturday. So I'm, in my mind, I'm like, okay, maybe we move this to Friday and you know, get the cost down. But then I remember, okay, wait a second. She's in a conservatorship. There's money to bury her, you know. But I'm like, man, you know, I was telling these ladies, I said, I may not be able to kind of help my own family situation, but I'll be able to help the next family situation. So, but cremation, John Smith over at Smith Family Funeral Home has been helpful. And Mike at Roselawn, not trying to be critical of Roselawn over there between Smyrna and Murfreesboro, where she'd be buried at. But I asked Mike, I said, how'd you get in this business? I'm just curious. And he said, you know, my dad died a few years ago. And my mother wasn't prepared. I watched what she went through. And it kind of encouraged me to go into that business, you know. And but I'll tell you, I got in the wrong business because there must be a lot of money in the funeral home business, folks. telling you.
My nephew just moved to Georgia to do some of that down there for
I mean, somebody's got to do it, so. I guess.
Well,
but,
yeah.
You know, it's been a mixed emotion experience, like writing obituary. I forget what to put in there. And my pastor's like, hey, have you prepared songs? I mean, I never thought about songs, never thought about pallbearers. You know, I'm thinking about the finances and trying to get a plot and everything going. But my sister, you'd love my sister, man. She was just so outgoing and everybody just loved her. Had a heart for people, but Sister Vicky Sparks, she'll be sadly missed.
Well, we've got a few minutes here to talk with Emily Lopez. Kind of tell me why you invited her.
Well, here's what I like about Emily, and sorry to ramble on about my sister, but Emily, I was so impressed with this young lady. We were at Smyrna High commencement address. I'm sitting up here with Dr. K. Martin, and this girl at the end of the service, you just go ahead and tell us what you did.
I was given the opportunity to close out Smyrna's commencement for graduation, and I decided to use my time to share the gospel and to share scripture up on stage. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody clapped. You didn't have no hecklers.
It was very respectable. And everyone, I thought I was going to get a lot more. I don't even know what the word to use for it is, but I did not think that many people were going to clap for me. In the video, watching it back, the commencement, watching me do the speech, I watched myself pause for a second because I was just shocked at how many people, actually just respected what I did. And even after that, going to random places, I remember a Smyrna High School cheer team, we had a fundraiser at Cane's, and I had went one night, and one of the parents stopped me, and they were like, it brought tears to my eyes. Thank you so much for doing that. And I was like, of course.
That's cool. Trying to get in radio. Oh, you got a great radio voice.
Yeah. Thank you.
Really.
So was this planned, spur of the moment? I mean,
it was not planned.
So originally I was told I would be able to get the opportunity to say what I wanted to. I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure that they did not know what I had planned to say, but I had prayed about it a lot beforehand, and I had encouragement from my small group and my pastors, and I just told them the opportunity that I was given, and they were like, you need to use this, and I prayed about it, and I knew the Lord was putting me there for a reason. So, and at first, I was so scared to the point where I was like, I don't really know if I'm going to do this, but I sat there and the conviction I had in that chair, after I had received my diploma and everything, I had true conviction, you need to get up on stage and you need to share the gospel. Mm. And so that's what I did. And the Lord has really rewarded me in it, in different ways, not even just physically, but spiritually. I the boldness that he gave me in that time, is something that I'm going to walk away with, and it's not really going to change. And it's at the end of the day, the Lord will give me the strength to do this thing. Even when you're so scared to speak in front of 1,000 people, the Lord will give you the strength. I have a friend, he always says the Lord's not going to throw you into the ocean if you don't know how to swim.
Mm. So, you know, a lot of times I've heard that, for commencement speakers, valedictorians, things like that, who speak, they have to submit what they're going to speak about. Yes. And that kind of thing. But that wasn't the case with your clothes?
It wasn't. Being the student announcer, I was a very trusted.
Okay.
And so they were like, just go up there and close us out, because they had had their announcer close out the last ceremony for the year before, 2023 graduates. And he closed them out, and so they gave me the opportunity to close my students out, and I chose to. I don't think they'll ever do it again. They're shocked. They're probably not going to let any other students ever do that again. But
you know the irony that, I talk about strange coincidences. Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson, who was on the radio, both y'all on my show Sunday night, and Ben was salutatorian. He got in trouble back when he was a freshman, had to go to Smyrna West. But he talked about his experience, it was almost talking about his faith in a sense, talking about overcoming obstacles and thank you for folks believing him, and he complimented the teachers. Well, I invited him to Rotary, because you're coming to my Rotary Club today,
I am.
She's coming to Rotary. So I invited him. Well, he invited his mom and dad. Well, his dad is the pastor of the black church in Laverne that was locked out by government for 2 years. So this is all a First Amendment issue. I just thought, it's kind of coincidental. See, a lot of people don't. I wrote the NAACP, wrote to ACLU, never heard nothing back from them. Mm-hmm. Now, see, what they will try to do is give you a hard time of your First Amendment right.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the record, it wasn't planned. So, if Dr. Sullivan's listening, or anybody's listening with the administration, but I appreciate your boldness, just to get up there like that.
Well, what's next for Emily, I guess, now that you've graduated?
So this is my second time coming on the show, and on Sunday I didn't make a college decision yet, but I have made my college decision, and I am going to MTSU for nursing. So super excited. I plan in the future, I really want the Lord to just lead me wherever he wants me. I shared some of that on Sunday, but that's really I feel like a lot of people my age, they get so stressed out and so anxious about like, oh, like I don't have my future planned. I have no clue what I'm going to do. But it's like, you trust the Lord in that, and then he will provide. And that's what I've been trying to do. I don't want to fall into like a continuous circle that everyone else does my age, where it's like, I'm so anxious. I don't even want to get out of bed because I don't know what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. But the beauty in that is amazing. It really is. The Lord has you in his hands.
Well, good luck at MTSU and everything.
Thank you so much.
All right. Emily Lopez here. Mike, appreciate you coming
in.
Thank
you. Thank you, Brian.
And that's going to do it here for the show today. Thank you for being a part of it. We'll see you back next time.